Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Monday morning at 10 a.m. I know I normally don't do shows on Monday morning, but we've been doing a Good Morning Gratitude show here on Blog Talk Radio for a few months now. And I just absolutely love this show, and I love it when people call in and participate with the show. So on short notice, I post the show on Twitter and Facebook and see who calls in the morning. So the phone number to call in is 714-868-0220. And if you want to call in and share what you're grateful for, or if you have some news or other positive information that you want to share with us, I will put you on air, and you can tell the world about what's going on in your world. And really, this is about starting your day with gratitude. I think it takes a lot of practice and maybe even some patience to practice gratitude, but this show is a great place to start and continue. If you already practice gratitude, share others, you know, teach others, share with us how you practice gratitude. And, you know, we all need that little reminder, and, yeah, it helps. So share others with what's important to you with your gratitude. And I always say gratitude, not attitude. And it looks like we have a caller on the line. So hang on. I'm going to bring in our first caller.
Hello?
Hello. Good morning, gratitude. Good morning.
Hi, is this Elizabeth?
Yes, it is. How are you?
This is Christine Nolfi calling. We just tweeted. We were tweeting
it
a little bit ago.
Hi. How are you?
You know, I wanted to. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to share a morning gratitude with you. I thought it was so funny that I saw your tweet. Is it okay if I share this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You're live on air, so you go for it. I mean, I'm so happy that you're with me, and that's kind of what the show is all about. It's a little random, and it's a little scary to start out during this broadcast and wonder who's going to call in. But hey, we're here. So
I have a Monday gratitude that will, I'm sure, will be very heartwarming for many of your listeners. As you know, my kids are adopted from the Children's Shelter of Cebu in the Philippines. I adopted my kids in 1996. Well, recently we discovered that there's another family in Charleston where I live that adopted kids from the same place. And yesterday I was at a picnic with their family and my kids with one of the missionaries from the Philippines that was here for the day. And Elizabeth, it has just made the beginning of my week filled with gratitude because there are so many good people in the world, and it's wonderful to connect that way.
Yeah, I think so too. And tell me a little bit more about your children and this organization, because it's really interesting. And there, and also, if you could, while you're talking about it, tell us how to find them on Twitter and how to find you on Twitter, if you could include that, because that's so important.
Well, on Twitter, I'm Christine Nolfi, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-N-O-L-F-I. I'm a novelist, as you know. And the shelter is on Twitter. It's CSC Shelter. And it's called the Children's Shelter of Cebu. If anyone wants to look it up on their website, it's cscshelter.org. It was started in 1979 by a group of missionaries in Minnesota, and they provide homes for orphaned, abandoned, and surrendered children in the Philippines. So there are only about 600 of these kids that have ended up in the U.S., and it's just by luck that I ended up living about a mile from one of these families. And their children are now young adults. My kids are now young adults. And they've become such wonderful friends. And spending yesterday with one of the missionaries, Elizabeth, these people dedicate their lives to helping these kids. And to spend the day with one of these committed families, he and his wife were here from the Philippines. They'll go back in a couple of days. It just makes you so grateful for how much goodness there is in the world, that there are people that care.
Yeah, and I think it helps you keep things into perspective and keep things in check, doesn't it? Because, I know I was thinking about topics for today's show, and I was thinking, oh, well, I'll talk about how my basement just flooded and how I'm grateful that, you know, nobody was hurt or injured or, you know, anything. And now here we are talking about something much bigger.
Something more important.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's easy for all of us to focus on the bad news, the bad things we hear on radio or TV, and there's so much goodness in the world. I hope some of your listeners will go on and look for CSC Shelter on Twitter and read about these wonderful missionaries and how many children they have helped over the years, including my four kids who are now all happy, healthy adults.
That's so neat. And are all four of your kids from the Philippines? I can't remember.
Yes, they're a sibling group. I adopted all together in 1996. The Children's Shelter of Cebu tries to place sibling groups because, as you know, it's more difficult to find a loving home for siblings. It's easier to adopt one child at a time. So they really are determined to keep these kids together. And so they do. And the family that I met here in Charleston adopted five kids from the Children's Shelter of Cebu.
Wow,
so
and how hard is it to adopt a child from the Philippines? I know people seem to really be on long waiting lists and things like that to adopt children. Is this that same kind of process?
Oh, no, not at all. You can go through an agency here in the U.S. For example, I went through WACAP in Seattle. They take care of all your home study material here in the U.S., and then they put you in contact with shelters in the Philippines. You know, if you're looking to adopt a sibling group, the Philippines is one of the areas where it's easier to find sibling groups.
Yeah.
So it's
amazing.
Difficult.
Kudos to people for just absolutely dedicating their lives to children. They're so important. How have your kids grown up? What do they do? What are they doing? And what kind of life maybe would they have otherwise had you not adopted them?
Oh, gosh, Elizabeth, if I hadn't adopted my kids, they'd be living in a developing part of the world. I don't know what kind of educational opportunities they would have received. Abandoned children have a very difficult time, no matter where they live. Today, my oldest works in an HR firm in Pittsburgh. The other three are in college. They're all very happy, zany American kids. I mean, you know, they're Filipino, but they're American to the core at this point. And
yeah.
It's just delightful that they can connect with other young adults who have the same experience, who grew up the same way, who came from the same place. And they remember each other from the shelter, which is amazing because they were all little kids when they left.
That's so cool. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing these days. I'm just curious.
Well, I've released
to this because I'm grateful that you're here. Thank you.
Well, I released my fourth novel in June. It's entitled The Dream You Make. It's another uplifting women's fiction novel. And I'm working now on the third book in the Liberty series after Treasure Me and Second Chance Grill. I'm hoping to release that at the end of September, but I'm still writing, so that's a little bit up in the air. We'll see how that goes. And other than that, I'm getting kids ready for the new school year and having a happy time here in Charleston, feeling grateful, Elizabeth.
Yep, I am too, and it's an interesting period of time for us here in our household because we have one leaving for college on August 30th.
Oh, is this your first?
It is our first leaving for college, and it is it's an interesting thing. And he's not going so far away, but he's still leaving, and it's still a huge adjustment. But I'm just so incredibly proud of him, though, because it's a big deal to go to college, and it's a big deal to have such a good attitude and be a little fearless and be more courageous than fearful. And
it's such a nice step for kids.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a nice step for parents, too, sometimes. You know, you just are proud of them and so forth. I know some people sit and are really sad that their children are leaving, and I can't say that I'm jumping up and down going, "Yay, he's gone!" or anything like that either. But I'm really super proud of him, and he's picked a major that goes with his interests and things like that. So I hope he just thrives and I'm just really, really excited for him. But I've really taken a giant step back from work these past 2 months, and just not done so many radio shows, and really backed off and just tried to spend as much time with my kids together as a group as I could. And it's made for some really really cool moments that I will be forever grateful for, because we did that as a family.
Well, and it's such a different phase that you're going into as they all start college and start into their lives. I tell them that families are like rubber bands. You know, they pull away and then they'll bounce back as they get into their mid-20s and they start finding significant others and talking about marriage. I'm like you. I wasn't jumping up and down, but it's thrilling to watch your children develop into these wonderful adults that have their focus and drive and interests that you just are so surprised to discover.
Yeah, absolutely. And did your kids, I'm curious, did your kids play any sports?
Yes, my son was a total baseball fanatic.
Do you want to talk about baseball for a minute with me?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, I wrote this blog over, you know, probably about a week ago now, and it was about how to handle disappointment with elegance, grace, and style. Basically kind of all about gratitude instead of attitude. And have you ever been involved with baseball for younger kids with fathers and parents and,
oh, yeah,
and everything
yeah.
like that? And have you ever lost a game, Christine?
Oh, absolutely. And some of the parents don't handle it well. You know, Elizabeth, it seems that the kids will handle it well if the parents do. And the parents don't always.
It's an interesting mix. We lost, and I sat kind of behind home plate up in the bleachers a little bit, so I could get some really cool pictures of the whole, you know, both teams on the baselines and the umpires and everything. Got some really cool pictures and so forth. But I found that I was sitting in this zone of people that didn't want to sit. I was just sitting up there for pictures, but I found I was sitting in this zone of people that didn't want to sit with their team, you know, the parents from their team on each side, because there was anger and frustration and people griping about the coaches and people griping about the players. And I was just sitting there going, I'm just trying to take pictures. You know, and
take the joy out of it for the kids when they respond that way. It should be a fun experience for kids, win or lose.
Yeah, and it was just really interesting to see, and you know, it made me really go home and think about it a little bit. And I ended up kind of writing this blog about, you know, how to handle a disappointment with elegance, grace, and style. And I really talked about looking at your behavior. Are you too serious for, you know, the 9-year-olds that are playing or something
right.
But really kind of like, what's your actual why? And I really wanted people to think about that today with this gratitude show. And it's anything. It's not just baseball, but it's anything about what's your why? What's your reason for being there? What's your reason for doing something? What's your why? Do you ever think about things like that?
Oh, all the time. What do you contribute to this moment? How could you make this moment better? If something seems to be a disappointment, is it hiding an opportunity? Because often it is.
Yeah, like the person who was sitting next to me griping and just eating at the coach and the experience, and there were other kids around as this person was spewing, I call it spewing venom. You know, I just wanted to say, wow, you know, I just want you to pause and reflect and ask yourself why you're even here. Why are you here?
And that person isn't in the present moment when they're spouting venom. They aren't in the moment with the kids watching a baseball game, win or lose. They're focused on their anger. They're somewhere else. And so they're missing the joy of that.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Kids learn so much about teamwork if they're on a – it doesn't matter if they're good at a sport. Athletics teach teamwork, and they teach camaraderie, and that you can trust the other players. It's a lovely experience for kids, and parents need to just support it, win or lose.
Yeah. But do you ever have a feeling, have you ever been in a situation where you think, where you're sitting there and you're noticing that And it seems to be an obvious notice that some people really think in that moment like somebody's actually scouting their kid for an MLB position.
Yes, yes, all the time, especially when the kids reach high school. Yeah, yes, and you know, and it puts terrible stress on the kids.
In some cases, they might be. I mean, I get it, but like you know, they're nine. Kind of thing,
I know.
Or whatever, 11 or 12
early.
Or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. It's,
well, and then some of those parents, by the time the kids reach high school, where you know there may be scholarship money involved for college and all these other fun things, they're taking it so seriously that the kids are under terrible stress just trying to do something that they've enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know, they turn it into a grind instead of the joy of athletics and teamwork and camaraderie.
Yeah. Well, it was just interesting. And so I love what you said right there about being present in the moment and being present in the now, because that's part – do you think that's part of gratitude? I do.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think, yeah, if you want to chat, I love having a conversation with you like this, because you've always been fun to have on as a guest and talk to and so forth, and I think you completely get where I'm coming from too on this baseball thing,
yes,
or
absolutely.
Just in life in general. And there's, you know, there's, if you get 300 people together for an event, everybody seems to be there for a different reason, and if there's anger involved or happiness or joy or sadness or whatever emotion, indifference, you know, whatever emotion is going on, it's sometimes easy to see people who are actually really right there and in that moment.
Yes, and the people in the moment are more able to feel the gratitude. You know, it's a privilege to have a child and then to see that child do something that they're good at. I'm sure you – is it your son who's in baseball?
I have four baseball players, yeah. I mean, I've got all four of them that play baseball. So, we've been doing this for, you know, gosh, one of them's 18 now, so we've been doing baseball forever. I just wrote out of the blue from a baseball game. I mean, I've been seeing this forever, this different behaviors. In California, I had – when my kids were in T-ball, you know, just little tiny T-ball players, four. My one son, this other coach went up and down the line and went, "You all suck," you know, to our little kindergartners, like, "Dude, a little serious. It's T-ball for crying out loud." But you see these things and you wish gratitude on people, but it's hard to stop someone and say, it's hard to tell someone angry that they're angry. It's kind of scary.
Well,
sometimes.
Again, because they're not in the moment and they can't really hear you. They're too focused on their anger.
Yeah, or bring, you know, maybe not tell them, but maybe bring it to their attention or something like that. So, you know, I just saw a mixed bag, and I just thought I would remind everyone, if possible, that, you know, it's really important, like you said, to sort of stay in the moment and stay grateful and stay positive and stay energetic, because that, as an adult especially, that wears off to the kids. I mean, you're a role model. So if you're over there swearing and hooting and hollering and mad and stomping your feet and throwing a baseball or throwing a bat or acting up, the kids see that.
Yes, it does. It rubs off on the children. And really, we should flip the coin and learn from the kids, because they tend to, you know, we always say children are happier than we are. Well, why are they happier? They're more able to stay right in this moment and feel the joy and the gratitude of it. And we tend to be worried about the past or the future or my to-do list and all this nonsense that we get ourselves wrapped up in as adults. Yes.
Yeah.
And kids don't do that.
I saw some kids doing things like throwing helmets and bats and things around. And what do you think that is all about?
I think they picked that up from their parents.
Yeah.
I think exactly what you said, that we influence our kids, whether it's positive or negative, and we need to be aware of that. So the kid throwing down the helmet, he's probably the kid that gets into the car and his mother or father is explaining what he did wrong during the game and giving him a critique instead of saying, you know, that was a great game.
Yeah, and I think in anything, you know, with gratitude, I would like to invite everybody today to kind of just sort of open up, pause, stop, do whatever for maybe 5 minutes, even 2 minutes, 1 minute, whatever, if you're listening to the show even, and think about what your heart is telling you. I really would love for people to think about what their why is and what their heart is telling them. Because your heart talks a lot to you, and you have to just sort of stop and listen to it. Your gut talks too, but your heart talks to you a lot. And I really,
it does.
It does. And if you stop and listen to what your heart says, it tells you a lot about what your why is. It's kind of complicated a little bit, but it's kind of easy on the other hand.
One of the things I tell other writers, especially novelists who are just beginning, that you must have quiet and silence in your life. Elizabeth, it sounds goofy, but I still don't own a cell phone, and people think I'm kooky. But I have to spend so much time on social media because I'm a novelist. But to write books and to access the inspiration that I want to use to write uplifting novels, you have to have silence to be able to listen to your heart.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely correct that your heart is talking to you all the time, but you have to take a moment of silence to listen.
Yeah, listen and implement as well. And that's kind of where the gratitude comes in, because you could really, well, you know, I'll just use the baseball game again. You could walk away from losing a baseball game thinking, oh, my God, we lost, we suck, I'm going to quit, I don't want to play anymore, oh, my God, I hate that other team, I hope they lose as they advance into the finals. You know, you can walk around with a lot of negative attitudes, or you could say, I'm really grateful I was here. I'm thankful my kid played. I'm thankful my kid didn't get hurt playing. I'm thankful that it didn't rain. I'm thankful that, you know, I could go on and on with thankfuls and gratitude.
Right.
And I think you can kind of do that with any situation. Most situations you can flip over and find gratitude. Do you think
Oh, absolutely.
Find something somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was watching this show yesterday. I don't watch TV very much. I can't say I never watch TV, but we were flipping through the channels, and I saw, I don't know the name of the program, but I saw this woman in a wheelchair trying on wedding dresses, and it was all about how she got shot in a total accident.
Aww.
She got shot. She lost a leg, and her
Aww.
Husband proposed to her. They're getting married and so forth. And there's a bunch of different ways that kind of moment can go. You could be negative,
I
don't want to marry you. She was smiling.
Absolutely.
She was so grateful that people helped her into a wedding gown. She was so helpful that they found this cool wedding gown that kind of moved, you know, laid over the sides of the wheelchair.
Lovely.
It was such a cool thing. And I normally don't watch reality TV, but I'm like, okay, that's actually good reality TV. And it made me want to talk about it on the air today because, you know, it was somebody who just randomly got shot. And it wasn't part of the Boston Marathon bombing. It was just another incident where somebody got shot. And they found gratitude again and love and heart and a whole lot of happiness. In a terrible situation.
Well, I'm a firm believer that a lot of the instances in our lives that we think are negative and, oh, this awful thing that has happened to me, Elizabeth, I firmly believe that that's usually a window opening and that something wonderful will happen if you can see through it, see past whatever you think is the obstacle. And that's something your listeners should think about is, if there's an obstacle in your life, is it really stopping you from something? Maybe it's asking you to pause and listen to your heart and listen to what it's telling you to implement in your life.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, obstacles are sometimes there for a reason, for sure. And they can slow you down and make you rethink a lot.
Well,
and you don't have to have something absolutely negative happen to you either. You know, if your life's coming along and everything's great and everything, I still recommend stopping and pausing and making, you know, and thinking.
And think of all the positive
a heart check.
And you could give your children a heart check if they're walking away from a baseball game and you have a 9-year-old that has put her heart and soul into it and is so disappointed. Think of all the positive lessons you can teach a child about, you know, you should be feel gratitude that you were there, feel happy for the other team for winning, be proud of yourself for playing. Yeah, there are so many positive lessons. We don't have to lose ever. We can win even when we lose.
I love that. We don't have to lose ever. We can win even when we lose. That's really cool. And, you know, one of the things I noticed, and again, I was just sort of taking a giant step back because I knew I was going to write about I knew I was going to write finally about baseball. it's been brewing for a while, but I took a step back again as I was taking some pictures, and it was the award ceremony at the end, and our team lost, and the other team from Hampden, Maine won, and they were advancing to New Jersey, and you know, I was just looking around and seeing who was even clapping for the other team during the awards ceremony. So they were reading off the children. These are like 12 and 13-year-olds. As they were reading off the children from the other team who had won, you know, they were coming one by one to get their medal, I was just sort of observing our crowd and our players to see who was clapping for the other team.
Oh, please tell me people were.
Some.
Were they clapping?
Some.
Oh, how can you not clap for a child who's winning an award? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Everybody should have been clapping.
That right there, just, you know, I think whether you know, the other thing I didn't see that I wished I would have seen, and I see this in baseball tournaments a lot because we travel, you know, when you're, let's say you have 30 teams in a, or let's go 15 teams in a baseball tournament, and you've been eliminated from the tournament completely. You're out of the championship bracket. But when it comes time to play that final championship game, wouldn't it be neat if all 15 teams were there?
Yes, and they should be. They
should.
And
they're not a lot of the time. And so
I know.
Just some things about life to just think about. As I know we have a lot of people that follow Best Ever You that have kids and sports, and I just almost wanted to talk about gratitude and sportsmanship and your why and your heart and so forth. And, you know, you got us kind of talking about kids and how people dedicate their lives to kids. And if you just even back it up to you were talking at the top of the show about kids that don't have homes.
Or kids that can't walk or will never be healthy enough to play a sport because they have tuberculosis and other health issues. There are so many reasons to be grateful that you have a child that is on that field.
Right.
And so,
just to take it all the
I
way back
to
what we were just talking
that.
About. Yeah, to just take it all the way back to the point of not clapping for the other team. You know, if people stop and maybe throw a little gratitude in there, I think those situations shift.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And every one of us has the power to shift that moment, depending on how we respond to it. You know,
right.
It's easy to sit there and go, why is that man jumping up and down? He's embarrassing the kids. But if everyone else is behaving in a positive way, they're clapping, they're, you know, giving the thumbs up to the kids regardless of which team, you know, that ripples across. I really think that good emotions have more power to amplify than negative. We
yeah.
may not always be aware of that, but they do.
Yeah.
And so any parent watching their child, I'm sorry, go
oh,
ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Any parent watching their child, yeah.
And they're feeling uncomfortable because another parent is behaving in an inappropriate manner, they should just continue to do all of the positive emotions, display that to the kids, stand up and applaud, you know, congratulate both teams. Do everything positive, and that tends to ripple across to other parents who may also feel uncomfortable because somebody's jumping up and down. You know, you
yeah.
can change that moment for the kids.
No. And I'm wondering if with children and people, how do you, this is a very open-ended question, how do you think you teach awareness? Is there a way
by
to
example.
Teach awareness? By what?
By example. You
yeah.
teach it by example. If your kids see that you're aware, if they see that you connect to nature and life and love and gratitude, they pick that up.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do. Yeah, I definitely do. I was just sort of wondering what you thought about that because I don't, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, my kid's fine and or whatever and I'm fine and everything. And it's very interesting to just remind people to be a little more aware and in the moment and grateful. Just
well, you know, one of the things,
reminder.
Well, we don't do this often, unfortunately, but a lot of families used to say some sort of prayer before they ate dinner. And if you think about that, it was a daily way for a family to express gratitude. So, you know, whatever simple family rituals you can find to share with your kids to show gratitude, you're helping them immensely with their life skills if you do that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, We don't do that a lot, do we, anymore? Well, maybe some
families. No, we really
do.
Don't. Yeah, I think some do, but I think we should all make more of an effort to do that.
I wonder what my kids would say. But okay, everybody, sit around.
Tell them to come up with something creative to say to be grateful. Let them invent it, whatever it is they choose to invent.
Huh, I like that. I think. What about, let's talk just a little bit more about baseball, because I love baseball too.
I do too.
I don't know if you watch TV over the weekend, but when you see a famous baseball player go up to bat, I think he struck out, and then go into the dugout and actually break a bat into a gazillion pieces against a wall. What do you think about that? Yeah.
I think it's an awful message, especially for young people.
Let me ask you this. I'm just curious what you think as another female involved with baseball a little bit. Is there ever a point at which breaking a bat like that is okay on national, not even on TV? Is there ever a point where any player should be breaking a bat?
No, absolutely. But, Elizabeth, I'm like you. I have to answer as a mother. I'm thinking of how would my children respond if they're watching this on TV and they think this he's their hero. And
mine were mortified.
Yes, I would be mortified, too. There's never an instance when that's appropriate. Never.
My hands actually went up in the air. My mouth dropped, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is he doing? And I said, do not watch this. I'm shutting this off.
Yes.
And my kids are a little bit bigger. They were mad.
I
wonder if, but I'm curious how that goes on without, I don't know if the player has apologized or not, but it's a really famous baseball player. And we were all kind of mortified.
He should apologize. Because,
I hope so.
Kids
even
watch that.
Our family, darn it.
If you have a 15-year-old son who's been in baseball for years and he watches that on TV and then he thinks that he can emulate that at the next game, and so he goes and throws a bat and it hits some other kid in the head. It's not a smart way to respond when you're playing sports. Is that sportsman like in any fashion? No.
Yeah. Well, I didn't intend on this being a sports phone call, but it's kind of interesting. I think I hope this call helps people. But do you want to move off sports for a little bit and talk about anything else gratitude-wise? I know I sort of had my basement on the radar, but let me think about, we're here to help people see gratitude and find gratitude, learn gratitude, share gratitude. We're talking about like how we all used to say, or we still do say, a prayer before dinner, or some type of blessing or sentence or whatever you want to call it before, and how that's before we eat, and that's a really clever way to get gratitude in motion in your household. What about on your own? I know a lot of people sort of wake up and practice gratitude. What do you think about that? Can you wake up, roll out of bed, and be grateful?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you give yourself, even if it's just 2 or 3 minutes to take a few deep breaths, look at the new day, think about it. Most of us jump out of bed, we got to get ready for work, you're in the shower, you got to grab something to eat, you're in the car. If you can just give yourself 2 or 3 minutes to just take a few breaths, look outside the window, be happy to be alive, it's so easy to access the gratitude of just being alive.
Yeah. I wonder how people...
Do you think most people do that? Do you think most people do give themselves a few moments? I don't.
I sure do because, I've almost died a couple times. So I might be different in that score because I've almost lost my life to food allergic reactions. And so you're darn right. Every day for me, I feel sometimes like I'm on very borrowed special time, and with the time I have here, I'm supposed to really do something with it.
Exactly what I was talking about earlier, is something that can seem like a roadblock or an obstacle. Think of how much more expanded your life is because you almost lost it. Think of how much deeper of a human being you are now because of that difficult circumstance. That's exactly what I meant earlier.
Yeah,
we should look at our obstacles as... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think what I'm trying to interject right there is that it's it's really important also to not, it doesn't have to be a huge life-threatening thing or an obstacle. My mission is to try and get people to see gratitude, you know, even before something like that happens, because so many people, they get, you know, they get cancer, or they get sick, or they get diabetic, or they have a heart attack, or, you know, something around them happens, and that serves as their wake-up call. And I really wish people would wake up before that. And so if you're listening to this show and your health is great, and your relationships are great, and your body is great, and your work is great, and your kids are great, if everything falls in a row for you in the great category, there's not much bad going on, still remember to stop, pause, and practice gratitude because things change.
Well, and if everything is great in your life, take it a step further. Try to offer that to other people. I think that's one of the reasons why the Children's Shelter of Cebu has had such a profound effect on my life, is seeing the example of people that give so much to others and how much they can spread joy to hundreds of families. If you have everything that's working well in your life, maybe it's time for you to step a little bit outside your life and offer something to someone else. You know, give someone
that.
A helping hand or just, you know, when you go into a store and the sales clerk is having a bad day, and it's easy to tell, you know, just compliment him or her. You know, you look great. I love that nail polish. I love the way you do your hair. You know, simple ways of showing gratitude for another person being there. You can really brighten someone's day.
I love that.
Just a little thing.
Let's talk about the flip side of that now, because I do that with this show a lot, and just talk about somebody who doesn't feel well today. The show, and you don't feel well. You don't feel grateful. You don't feel maybe loved. You don't feel happy. You got fired. You're sick. You know, something, life is not quite percolating right toward everything lining up in that great category. Christine, how do you think that people could maybe implement a little bit of gratitude in their life to see things differently?
Well, if you show compassion to that person, I'm sorry that you're having a difficult time. I hope things get better soon. You know, if there's anything you need, I'm here to talk. If you just, little ways of showing compassion, sometimes people are going through a difficult time. They really just want someone to listen for 5 minutes. And that compassion that you show will turn it around.
That's such a good word, compassion, even compassion to yourself, giving yourself a break.
Yes.
Because people are so hard on themselves, don't you think? I know I can be
pretty tough
on me.
And, you know, and we're very connected as a society now, but at the same time, we spend a lot of time alone together. So we're much more isolated more than we used to be. We used to live in family communities and rural areas, and everybody knew the neighbors, and it's not like that today. We're very disconnected, and sometimes taking the time to show a little compassion, to stop and listen to someone, can make all the difference in the world.
Right.
I do that sometimes with readers on Goodreads. They know that they can send me direct messages. I will respond. I'll talk. I can only do it about once a week because, you know, got to write the books. But sometimes I connect with readers that really just need for someone to listen.
Yeah.
And I've had lovely experiences doing that, taking the time to connect and listen to what someone wants to tell you. We can all do that. We're all capable of that.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I absolutely love listening and connecting and so forth. And I talk a lot about, you know, as we're listening and connecting and looking at what other people are doing and stuff, I call it, I think one of the number one gratitude blockers, it's a gratitude blocker, is comparing.
That's such a great observation.
So
you're right.
It's so easy to fall into this little trap because people don't, some people do, but on Facebook, people are sharing joy for the most part. Look at what my kid did. Look what I did. Look at this pretty picture I took. Listen to this show. Do this. Do that. And it's not an endless stream of, oh, my God, this just happened to me, you know, that kind of thing. It's generally happy. So if you have enough people lined up sharing gratitude or sharing happiness for their new couch they bought, their kid just got a medal, their job that they got, you know, all this stuff, it's easy to sit and go, well, I suck. Oh, my God, let me tell you, my basement just flooded. Let me post that, you know, kind of thing. And It's interesting. I'll go to my basement in a minute, so we'll get there before the end of the show. But it's easy to think that everybody has it better than you and fall into this little trap of not being grateful for who you are and what you are and where you are and how you are.
I've never thought of it that way. Comparing is a gratitude blocker.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Wonderful. You should make T-shirts and hand that out. We all need one of those T-shirts on certain days.
I'll do that with you since we're on the show
Yeah,
together.
Absolutely.
I'll do that
as long
with you.
As long as
I don't know how to print up T-shirts and do it, but
okay,
that,
they
I say that
be
all the
wonderful.
Time.
I mean, is there a time that we haven't all fallen into that? We all fall into that. You compare,
well,
and then it blocks your gratitude.
Yeah, compare, and then you get really bummed out. You can. Some people live in the "I am so happy for them" moment. You know, I go through my Facebook posts and like. But do you ever find yourself going, "Oh my God, they just got a blah blah blah"? I don't have that. Sure,
right.
They're in Hawaii. I'm not there. There.
That's so,
you know,
true.
People do it all the time. So it's really easy to fall into a little trap. I'm not using, you know, just Facebook. That's just using Facebook as an example. I could use a neighborhood. I could even use pulling up to a stopped red light. Hopefully people stop at red lights, a stoplight, and looking over at the Beamer next to you that's a convertible. And you're sitting there, and like I drive a French fry mobile. It would be very easy for me to glance over from my crusted French fry mobile, potato chip mobile, cracked windshield minivan that's forever and a day old that's grown up the kids, and glance over at the Beamer and go, "Well, shit, I don't have that. I want that. I'm bumming. I suck." You know, that kind of thing. People do it all the time.
And you know what? The person in that fancy car may have tried to have children and was unable and never got to be a parent and would give anything in the world to be sitting in your French fry car.
Yeah, they might be like, "God dang it, I hate this car payment." Yeah, you have idea what people think. So I just think it's really, really important to make sure that you understand that when you start comparing yourself, you are blocking gratitude. You are blocking it from happening.
Well, and you're making the assumption that the other person has it so much better.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, have you ever met anybody that really has it all together? We've all been through difficult
times.
Well,
I met you. You are. No. Usually, I always say that. You know, it's great. Some people, you know, God bless everybody for doing everything that they do. But, yeah, usually people have a little bit of trouble.
Oh,
with
yeah,
all,
everyone
with
does.
All their greatness.
Nobody goes through unscathed.
Yeah. And
I think if you want to compare yourself to someone else, you need to remind yourself that you're not walking in their shoes. It may all look wonderful on the outside, but they've had difficulties just like you.
Yes. And that's very important. And it's, I think, I always say this also, I don't know how much time we have left, but I think this is such an important message to give to teenagers as well. Such an important message, because there's not enough life years of experience and so forth. In a lot of cases there is. But teenagers spend a lot of time, and kids spend a lot of time comparing themselves to other people, to other kids.
Oh, they do.
It's just part of growing up. You do it. Well, they, you know, they live in a bigger house. They have nicer clothes. They're smarter. They're taller. They're shorter. They're, you know, whatever. You could go all over the place with that. And we'll keep going here. We're going to record a little bit longer. But I ran into these girls. This was probably, gosh, almost a year ago now. And they were talking, and they were like, "I wonder why such and such doesn't like me. I wonder what it is about me that she doesn't like." There were three girls talking. "Me too. She always does it to me. I wonder what it is about me that she just doesn't like." And I was actually about maybe 2 feet away from these girls. I was waiting for one of my kids to get out of swimming lessons. And I stopped the group of girls. And I said, I'm a life coach. I'm kind of new at this, but let me help you for a second if you guys will just listen and share with me your thoughts back about this. But what if it's not about you?
Exactly.
What if that, have you ever thought about, I hear this conversation, sorry, I'm overhearing it, picking up a kid, but what if this isn't about you? What if it's about that girl? Have the three of you ever asked and sat down with that girl and said, how's your life? Are you okay?
Exactly.
Are your parents getting a divorce? Are you sick? Are you, you know, what's going on in your world? Maybe,
exactly.
Maybe it's
exactly.
Nothing that she has against you.
Well, teenagers are so hyper self-aware that they
yeah.
they make the assumption that everything goes back to, you know, it's something I did.
Something
somehow
I did.
I'm connected to this event. And it doesn't really dawn on a teenager that something could be going on that has absolutely nothing to do with you. That kid that you think dislikes you at school may have been staring at you, but he was really in deep thought about some trouble in his life. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's critical that we teach teenagers that, because they are, and you have to remind your teenagers that they are at a phase where they're very self-aware and
right.
that life doesn't always revolve around you. We may want
so
to think
that,
it does.
Yeah, I think it does. Life revolves around
but
you pretty much. But
yeah.
Yeah. But
you are not
you know,
the sun and we're all planets.
Yeah, but how do you translate gratitude into that moment? I don't know if I did the best job of, I wasn't as gratitude savvy and aware then as I am now, or as I like to pretend I am or think I am. But, you know, I wish I could find these girls again and just talk a little bit more about gratitude.
You invited them to discover gratitude if they take the time to go and talk to the girl. I mean, think of all the scenarios that could occur after that. They're making assumptions
yeah.
about this girl. If they take the time to go up and learn about her world, they may feel gratitude afterwards because they might make a friend. They might be able to help her in some way. She may be able to help them in some way.
Yeah.
You know, they'll make a true connection, and you can't have gratitude unless you really do connect, either to your life, to other people, to the present moment. You need to find connection to have any level of gratitude. Don't we think?
Yes, I think so too. So I hope those four girls are sitting around laughing these days, a year later or so. Do you have time to talk one more scenario with me?
Yes,
the baseball
sure.
one again, or do you have to go? I just want to double check.
No, I love the baseball
scenario.
I can stay for one more.
Okay, so I was at baseball, and I won't say where, who, or anything like that, but my kids and I, two of my kids and I were sitting in the car. We were going to get out to go play and watch the game, and we had the windows rolled down, and another car, two cars over, pulls up, and this little kid, mom, dad, and baby in a stroller, get out of the car, you know, the baby goes in the stroller, they're all sitting there. The little kiddo isn't a baseball player, but maybe something more like field hockey or something. He's there to do something else, and he's maybe all four or five tops, maybe six, a little six. They get going, they're walking over the grass and into the parking lot toward the field and park, and the father stops and takes that little kid by the arm. The mother and the stroller follow. They all come back to the car. And the father unleashes a swearing fury. You effing this, you effing that. If you ever do that effing again, blah, 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 on this kid. My two kids are
oh,
sitting
kidding.
There. Oh, no, I'm dead serious. I've never wanted to get out of my car so badly in my life, but, again, I go back to my theory of how do you tell somebody angry that they're angry. You know, you worry they're going to hurt you or do something to you. You know, you have no idea. So I'm in that mode of, God, I should have done something. I wish I would have done something. I feel for that mother, the kids, the everything. Tell me about what you think about that, because it happens all
you know,
the time. I mean, this isn't the first time in the history of the world that that's happened.
Elizabeth, I've been in situations like that, and because I'm an adoptive parent and my children went through abuse and neglect, I can't not respond to that. I've stopped women in grocery stores who are verbally abusing their children and asked them, do you need help? Is there something going on? I've gone up and said something. At times embarrassing my children, but it always brings it to a stop, because if somebody's raging at a small child, I think the shock of having another adult walk up and say, excuse me, this isn't appropriate. I think it shocks them out of it. At least now, I've never had to do that with a man. I've had to do it.
Well, I wouldn't have done it with a man. So he was too big,
yeah.
I'm 5'2", and he was like 6'5".
Exactly.
You know,
so I'm not sure how I would Right, yeah. And you don't know if you're walking yourself into a dangerous situation. But
here's what I did do. He walked away with the kids. She stayed there with the stroller, and I went up and I said, "Are you all right?"
Yes, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, she's like, "No, I'm not." I gave her a card, and I just said, you know, I'm not a counselor or anything like that, but this is bad stuff. I talked to her a little bit, and I won't go into everything I said, but where's the gratitude there in that moment? What's going on, do you think? And what should we as people do?
You know, I don't have the answer to that. If someone is so enraged that they'll take it out on a small child, there's so much troubling going on in that. How do you access the gratitude in that moment?
I don't know.
How do you help them?
Bond, but that's
an
example
either.
Of a moment that matters where you're taking a kid to play a sport and everything. I don't know how the kid would ever play after that.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
I'd be like, I'm going home now, thanks.
Although you did a very positive thing by offering her compassion and support. You know, think about that. That might have been a catalyst to change things in that family.
Maybe. But that's like one of those, that's a gratitude loss. And I want people to think about the things that they do and say and behave. How we behave, how we act from moment to moment. Because it matters.
And the sort of energy we're putting out. Does matter. The sort of energy we're putting out in the world is affecting other people. None of us is living in isolation. We really need to think about how our energy is affecting other people. Are we bringing joy and gratitude, or are we spewing venom?
Yeah, that's what I always say, spewing venom. And that's a venom-spewing moment right there, and I wonder if that'll... I worry for the family there, because I wonder if they're probably having other moments like that.
Yeah,
and
probably.
How that person grows up, how those kids grow up, how that woman is, how that man is. Just something to think about. I don't know. I don't know what more to say about it than that, but that's a gratitude thieving moment.
Yes, it
and
absolutely
those
is.
Moments matter, especially to those little ones. You know, it's a moment.
Oh,
it could be a cool. It could be such a cool moment. I'm here with my dad. I'm at the park. I'm going to go play.
I know.
With my family. You know, kind of thing. And instead the kid got like 10 F words at him. And what he had done was kind of tapped his mom on the legs with the stick. And the dad's like, I'm going to break that effing thing into a million pieces if you don't effing knock it out, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, whoa, dude, it's like four. And my kids were jaw dropped. I did not know what to say to my kids.
It wasn't a great experience for your children either. You know,
I'm glad I didn't have anybody else's kids with me is what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, my God, okay, I can handle my own here, but I'm glad I didn't take such and such too today because they would have just heard that. I would have had to explain it to their mom or their dad or whatever. But seldom do I get rendered speechless, and I just said to my kids, I know you guys heard that and I just saw that. That's wrong. And they were like, Mom, aren't you going to do anything? Aren't you going to go and talk to that guy? And I'm like, no, it's not safe probably. I'm borderline wanting to call 911. I borderline wanted to record it, but then I'm like, okay, how do you record that and not help? You know, kind of thing. You know, that's rude.
Yeah.
You know, especially if somebody got hit or something like that. That would have been bad. And so it leaves you in this funny spot, and it sucked the joy completely out of us as well.
Yes, it would.
And I had to re-gratitude and rejoin my own family because they were just witness to something horrendous.
That would be another gratitude blocker.
Yeah.
You know, what you witnessed is another example of a gratitude blocker. It would take you a while because you'd be so unsettled by that.
Yeah. So I just really want people to think. I saw some just really interesting behavior, and I just really want, I don't know, I just really wish we all would just stop and think about what we do. And I love this. Gary Kobet always says this. He says we take responsibility for everything we think, say, do, write, behave. You know, we take responsibility for ourselves.
Yes, and we all must do that. And if we do that, we will have more gratitude. We'll find more joy in everyday life.
Yeah.
Yes, we should take responsibility for ourselves in all we do, think, say, write, learn, all of it.
Yep, Gary Cobet's Gary Cobet on Twitter, too. He's not with us today. He's had a really busy schedule, but he sometimes joins us for these Good Morning Gratitude shows, and I know he would have had something to say about baseball. I know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, I'm sure he would have something to say about the man.
We've gone over on time, but what I want to do is just make sure everybody knows where to – I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank everybody who's in the chat room. Thank people for calling in and listening and sharing and replaying the show with their social media. Thank you, Christine, for joining in. It was such a – it was a very interesting chat with you. All about different scenarios of gratitude. And just thank you. And how can people find your books and – tell some names of them.
Well, if they go on Amazon and they type in Treasure Me, they'll see all of my books. That's probably the simplest way to do it. Books are Treasure Me, Second Chance Grill, The Tree of Everlasting Knowledge, and The Dream You Make.
Yeah.
And if everyone would go on Twitter and check out CSC Shelter, I think you'll have more gratitude if you see the lovely work that they do.
Did you see on CBS This Morning the guy, you might have to look it up on Facebook, it's called The Tree. Did you see that by any chance?
No, I didn't.
This guy, life going fine, everything fine, got a little bit down and out, bounced back up, and then he actually literally got hit. I think he got actually hit by a truck. He got hit by a car or a truck, and just really life collapse type thing. And in his backyard, there's this huge, I think it was a beautiful oak tree or something. He's from Iowa, so I'm gonna go with oak tree. I'll have to look on Facebook. I didn't do it yet. But he has taken a picture of that tree every day for 1 year in all different ways. He's taken a picture of that tree every day for 1 year and found so much gratitude, happiness, joy, and love. And on the last day for the last picture, 300 and some people joined him at the tree.
Oh, how lovely.
Isn't that cool?
That's wonderful. Yes,
yeah,
I love that.
I'll see if I can find it. I'll post it with the show since I just mentioned it. I'll post the link on Facebook if I can find it. I know it's on my list of things to find this morning, but it was on TV yesterday, and I think it was on like CBS This Morning or something, but it's called The Tree. And I can't remember the guy's name either.
Oh, that's like my tree of everlasting knowledge. It's an oak tree.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, when you said that. Yeah. So maybe
you guys. Oh, I'll have to look for that, Elizabeth.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
It is. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you for being with me, Christine. You're a blessing and a true joy and lots of love to you and lots of gratitude for you being here today. And thank you for all you do with the children. I think that's such a wonderful thing. You percolate peace is what I say. So, all right. Lots of love. Thank you all for listening. We're going to be back Tuesday with the guy who founded Get a Room, getaroom.com, hotels.com. He's going to share some amazing travel. His name's Bob. He's going to share some amazing travel tips, summer vacation tips, hotel room tips, and give us, point us all in the direction of having a very vacation-like August. So get a room, hotels.com, and get a room, I think, is the websites he's founded. So that's awesome, and we'll talk to him tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern time. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care, Christine.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.